This is Space Kate at the Royal Society for the Reinventing Space Conference 2014, and we've just had a really exciting announcement of the Lunar Mission 1 project. And with me now is Professor Richard Holdaway from RAL Space, the technical advisors on the project. Can you just give us a very brief overview? What is Lunar Mission 1?
Okay, so Lunar Mission 1 is an incredibly exciting and innovative program, space exploration. So we're going to be going to the south pole of the Moon, to the rim of the Aitken Basin, which is the largest impact crater on the Moon. And the mission essentially is all about science, but of course to do world-class science you've got to have world-class technology. So we're going to be developing some incredible technology to do the science, and in a nutshell the science is going to be taking core samples from beneath the surface of the Moon, analyzing that for all the different chemical constituents of it, but also analyzing some of the isotopes that we expect to find there, because isotopes are our fingerprints, not only of the material and the genesis of the Moon, but the genesis on Earth, because we now know with pretty much certainty that the Moon came as a result of an impact on Earth 4.5 billion years ago by something the size of Mars, planet-sized. And when that body, whatever it might have been at the time, impacted Earth, it threw a huge amount of material up into space. And over the next 500 million years, because that's what it took, that material coalesced into what we now know as and call the Moon. And so we want to be able to dig down under the surface of the Moon, analyze that material, confirm that it did indeed come from the Earth, but also see what else we can find there, see what else we can learn, not only about planet Earth, but about the Moon, about its early formation 4.5 billion years ago.
So why the Moon? I mean, we've seen NASA and a lot of people around the world are getting pretty excited about Mars. Is the Moon a step backwards?
No, it's not a step backwards. I mean, we know quite a lot about the Moon. We can see it with our own eyes. We can see it even better with telescopes. And, of course, the Apollo astronauts went there 6 times. But that was 40 years ago. And the material they brought back was all from the surface of the Moon. What we're going to be doing that has never been done before, never even been possible before, is to drill deeply under the surface of the Moon, down to a depth of something like 100 meters, and bring material back up that really was formed 4 to 5 billion years ago, at the same time that planet Earth was forming. Now, of course, you can go to Mars and you can do all sorts of other science and indeed geology on Mars and other planets. But really, it's only the Moon that tells us about the formation of the Earth, because the Moon came out of the Earth.
Now, drilling on another celestial body, I mean, that's no easy feat. And if you want to go down as deep as 100 metres, you're going to need quite a big piece of equipment. How are you going to manage to get it there in the first place?
Physically getting it there, of course, is taking it on a spacecraft that will be big enough, probably the size of a very large car, or a very small minibus, but with a lot of compact instrumentation in it and a lot of compact technology on it. The key technologies are the lander itself, of course, but the robotic systems that will be operating, because this is not a manned mission. And robotic systems will be very complicated, very manipulative in terms of their ability to do some of the things that otherwise humans would have to do. And the drilling technology itself, although it's going down 100 metres, and that sounds like a massive, great big drill, the borehole is only 2 inches in diameter. And what it will do is it will drill down about 10 centimetres, pull up that amount of material from underneath the surface, go back down again, drill down another 10 centimetres. So it's doing it in small pieces. And so actually you only need a fairly small section of very high precision, very strong drill to be able to do that.
Now these sound like they could be really exciting and interesting samples that you're finding. Is there any plan to try and bring any of them back to Earth?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. Within this project itself, we're not able to do that. But what we do expect to be able to do is to pretty much fully analyse all of the material in situ on the Moon with the instruments, scientific instruments, the chemistry instruments that we'll have on the Moon. But at the same time, for all of the material that we bring back up, we will keep that material in canisters on the surface of the Moon, and therefore with follow-on missions, which we hope will happen, and progressively we will get towards the opportunity to be able to bring sample returns back, we'll be able to bring some, if not all, of this material back, and other material as well.
Now, one of the really interesting things about Lunar Mission 1 is that it's not being funded by one of the big space agencies, but you're actually looking to members of the public to join in and donate some money towards your sort of development target. Can you tell us a bit about how people can get involved and what they get in return for their for their money?
Well, the first thing that people need to do, which many people are already doing, is to go on the website, which is just simply www.lunarmission1, where the one is spelt, not number one, .com. And if you go on there, that gives you all the links. It gives you links to the science, to the technology. There are a couple of videos there that explain in more detail the what and the why. But it also explains there the educational outreach and how the public can also get involved. So we want as many of the public around the globe as possible to get involved just by watching the program develop on the internet. But by pledging money to the program, individuals or companies or families or whatever they want will be able to buy digital memory space that will then be put inside canisters that will go back inside the borehole that's going to be drilled. And those digital memories can be anything that they want. They can be, you can put your CV there, not that that will really be particularly useful on the moon, but you can put photographs, you can put your family history, you can put video of yourself, of your children as they develop. And really, if you think about it now, you've got 10 years to put that material together. So it can be a real history of 10 years worth of your family life, anything you want. And then in addition to that, there'll be a public archive, which will be a true digital record of the whole of the history of civilization on planet Earth. And that'll be overseen by a body like UNESCO, whereas the private archive for families, that'll be just your business entirely. So you can put in exactly what you want on it when you want.
So is this a bit like the gold disc in a way, putting something out there that shows what humanity is like at the moment?
It's a little bit like the gold disc, which went out on the Voyager spacecraft, which is now way outside of the solar system. This will be digital memory, unlike the golden disc, which was a solid piece of material. And of course, by using digital memory, a bit like a USB stick that we all stick on our laptops from time to time, we can get a lot of material from a lot of people around the globe. We're talking potentially hundreds of millions of people that will be able to put their digital archives in the canisters under the surface of the moon. And the great thing about that is not only that can engage a lot more people, but the moon, unlike the Earth, which has a lot of volatility in its surface and below its surface because of tectonic plate movements, earthquakes, and so on, the moon is very stable. And so all of these digital records are going to be preserved forever, where forever is a billion years or so.
And I read somewhere that people can put even a single strand of their hair, so their DNA profile will be up there.
Yeah, so there will be the option as well. We haven't exactly figured out how yet, but the option to put a single strand of hair up in one of the canisters. It turns out that you can get 100 million human hairs in one of these canisters, and that's a canister that's 2 inches in diameter and just 10 centimetres long. So you can get a lot of material in a very small volume.
Would it not be easier just to digitise people's genomes?
Well, you raise exactly the right issue there. So the DNA in the hair will certainly die over a period of time. So what we will be doing is actually extracting the DNA code from each hair, digitising that, and that will be part of your memory base.
Oh, so I'm just kind of wondering who you think is going to do that. Is it going to be the same people who imagine that, who pay lots of money for the research into cryogenics, so maybe they'll be brought back to life someday?
Well, in some cases, possibly. But the really important issue on Lunar Mission 1 is that people can pledge anything from $5, which is £3, up to, at the moment, the most expensive is £5,000. And you can go anywhere in that range and be involved in the program. And certainly from £60 and upwards, you can get the digital memory. And that seems to be, from the basis of today, since the funding call started, that's what most people are doing. They're pledging between £60 and £100. We are already well over £100,000, and we've only been going something like 14 hours. So, and we have 4 weeks in total. So we've got 3 3/4 weeks to raise the rest of the money. We are way ahead of where we expected to be, and we've had nearly 2,000 people pledge from around the globe, most in the UK so far. But there are already people from China and from Taiwan who have pledged, from the United States who have pledged. Pretty much from all the major countries in the world. And we expect, as a result of all the publicity that has been in the media the newspapers and TV in particular, for that number to take off sky high, literally, over the next 24, 48 hours.
So you've got a month to raise about $600,000, about $1 million,
yeah.
And that's for the first stage. Can you just briefly outline what's going to happen once you've done that, and what are the next stages of the project?
So the stage for which we're raising the funding at the moment is to complete the detailed design, do all of the risk analysis, and figure out where we can get best access to the critical technologies, and one of which is certainly that will be the most important to identify early on is drilling technology. There are something like three or four companies in the world that we know that do this kind of technology on Earth. It's a slightly different process to do it on the moon, but some of the basic technology is very the same. But, of course, it's got to be adapted for space. It's got to be ultra-reliable. It's got to be ultra-robust, as everything that goes into space has been. At the end of that phase, 6 months to a year, then we will start the detailed design and build stage, which will be building the instruments, beginning to build the spacecraft itself and the lander that will land on the moon. And we will be raising a lot more money to do that, because the total cost of the program, we believe, is going to be something like £750 million. Pretty close to $1 billion. And that'll be by the same process. People had already expressed interest in the mission through pledges to get information on the program, then we'll be able to pledge large amounts of money for super capability in terms of their digital memory, I mean whole archives of digital memory, together with human hair strands and all sorts of things like that.
So just briefly, going back to the science that you're going to be doing, because you made the point that is central to the mission, the data that you get back from your sample analysis, is that going to be made publicly available or available to those people that have pledged to support the mission?
No, all of the information that comes back, whether it's scientific, whether it's technical, or indeed information we find about the nature of drilling on the moon, because there are potential interests there on commercial development of the moon for minerals, all of that will be made available publicly to everybody.
And what would you say? I mean, there's already groups of people around the world that are trying to get back to the moon, trying to put robots on the moon with the Google Lunar X Prize.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just join with them?
Oh, the Google Lunar X Prize is a great competition, been going for a few years, and actually at RAL Space we're involved in one of the consortium. But it is what it says on the tin. It's robots. They have a particular objective that they have to achieve, which is to travel at least half a kilometer, take some pictures and transmit some data. But that's all it does. It's a very noble thing to be doing. It'll excite a lot of people. Indeed, it is exciting a lot of people. But that's a long way removed from doing world-class science, doing the incredible technology that we need to be able to do by drilling down 100 meters and bringing out core samples and analyzing that. It's a very, very different scale of space operation.
And my last question really is, we keep hearing that exploration is a very global business. And you've launched this here in the UK. I've seen the partners. It seems to be that they're all UK partners. Is there a place for other international partners to come on board with this, or is it just a kind of British pride kind of a mission?
No, absolutely. It's a fully global program. So we already have overseas scientists involved. We have many overseas scientists that are interested. I mean, they're all waiting for the launch, which was today. We kept the launch. The launch date was fixed many months ago, but we kept the details of the mission secret because we wanted to make sure that we had enough of the science objective, enough idea of the fact that it was going to be technologically feasible before we announced it. Now we've had literally hundreds of thousands of emails and tweets and indeed phone calls today from all around the world saying, how can we help, how can we get involved? And that's exactly what we were looking for.
So can it be done?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll happen. 10 years' time, you'll be sitting in front of your TV or whatever replaces TVs in 10 years' time, and you'll see it landing.
Excellent. So if you want to get involved, just visit lunarmission1.com, and you can pledge your support and be part of the mission. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.